Welcome back to the VR2 Vintage Rock Radio Countdown Show, where we recycle the world's best music each week on the world's best medium, radio. I'm your host, Mike Yunus, and this week we will pay homage to the electric guitar by featuring the top 14 greatest guitar riffs from the 70s and 80s. The songs in our survey have some of the most recognizable guitar riffs and licks to ever hit the radio, from guitar greats like Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, and Keith Richards, just to name a few. A guitar riff can be defined as a motif or phrase which is persistently repeated in the same musical voice. It has also been referred to as an ostinato, derived from the Italian word that means stubborn. A succession of equal sounds, wherein each note always has the same weight or stress. The repeating idea may be a rhythmic pattern, part of a tune, or a complete melody in itself. Today, many of the songs we will feature on our show have made their way to popular video games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, and remain some of the biggest air guitar songs ever made. To qualify for this special VR2, each song had to receive airplay between 1970 and 1989 and feature a very prominent guitar riff. Our list of the greatest guitar riffs were determined by record sales, regional airplay, listener requests, Billboard music chart performance, and the expert opinions of music critics throughout the industry. So crank up the radio and get ready to take another trip on the VR2 Vintage Rock Radio Countdown Show as we travel back to the 70s and 80s and feature some of the greatest guitar players of all time. As a special kickoff to our show this week, VR2's Chris Krause will be giving you a chance to win your very own official VR2 Vintage Rock Radio Countdown t-shirt. Details coming up next.
Recycling the world's best music. VR2 on 88.3 Vintage Rock Radio.
VR2 Countdown Show, and we are back, and with us today, and once again, Chris Krause.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Real good.
And Chris is going to explain for us. We have something new that we're going to offer to the VR2 listeners.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of exciting. We're referring to this as a mashup, right? Wouldn't you call this a mashup?
It's a mashup, and a mashup in current terms is where you take a couple songs and you mix them up, and they come out as one. Now, in this sense, we're doing a...
A mashup of all the riffs. Right, all the guitar riffs. The licks and the riffs, right? So this would be a mashup of the licks and riffs.
And if people are able to identify those licks and riffs, what do they get?
Well, here's what they have to do. They have to follow the procedure. They have to send an email identifying each of the songs in the order in which they were heard on today's show. And then they have to forward that order to the VR2 show at roadrunner.com.
So as a precursor to having to listen to the whole show, we're going to play a mashup, as you said, of all of the songs.
In order. In the proper order.
So if you don't quite catch it, you'll get it later.
Yes, it's our way of making sure that you listen if you want one of the prizes. And we're going to go further on here and tell you what you get if you put it in the proper order. So you have to forward the order of the mashup as you heard it to the VR2 show at roadrunner.com, and then we are going to randomly draw the correct entry from all the entries submitted that were in fact correct. All these entries have to be received by November the 25th, right? Isn't that the date?
Okay.
And the prize is just amazing. It's in a limited edition VR2 Vintage Rock Radio tie-dye t-shirt. And we'll need you to specify what size you are. Go home with a t-shirt that's just amazing, like the one that Mike is wearing.
Yeah, it's cobalt blue tie-dye.
It is.
And it features the unique and one-of-a-kind VR2 logo.
Yeah.
Vintage Rock Radio logo.
Recycled vinyl.
Okay, so let's get started. Kicking off this VR2 show, you ready to go?
I am. I'm absolutely ready to go. I'm excited.
So let's play the guitar riff mashup.
Yes, some of the greatest licks and riffs of guitar history.
Here we go. Keep track now.
Because it moves quickly.
We'll be right back. VR2 Countdown Show, and that is our special guitar riff mashup. Some of the greatest guitar riffs of all time, all kind of rolled up into one big collection of the guitar masters. And don't forget, if you are keeping track of the songs in order, you should submit those to the VR2 Show at roadrunner.com. You could win your own official VR2 Vintage Rock Radio Countdown t-shirt. And now, on with the show. We're going back to 1985, and this is the fantastic British group Dire Straits and Money for Nothing, song number 14 on the VR2 Countdown Show this week.
Bad to the bone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Countdown number 12.
Jumped out. Oh.
VR2 Countdown Show, and that is the 12th greatest guitar riff on our survey this week. That is Eddie Van Halen playing with Van Halen and the Boys, Running with the Devil, from the 1978 debut LP, voted the 9th greatest hard rock song of all time on VH1's list. Before that, Lucky Song 13, one of the most recognizable rock songs of the 1980s. That's George Thorogood and the Destroyers and Bad to the Bone. A song that wasn't a major hit on its initial release, but became a favorite among rock fans over time, due primarily to the rock video that was associated with the song. Then kicking off our show this week, Dire Straits' Money for Nothing, from one of the best-selling LPs of all time, Brothers in Arms, a song that included a cameo appearance by Sting, who sang the falsetto introduction lyric, "I Want My MTV," and backup vocals throughout the song on this mega hit. Coming up next, a song from a Canadian band about an American woman that's meaning was falsely interpreted for being an attack
recycling
on
the world's
UN.
Best music. One dusty track at a time.
Number 11.
American woman said, get away. American woman, listen what I say. Look, I'm not hanging around my door. Don't want to see your face no more. I don't need your war machines. I don't need your ghetto scenes. Colored lights can hypnotize.
WLHC number 10.
BR2 Countdown Show, and that is Led Zeppelin, who is renowned for their powerful guitar riffs and leads, and Black Dog, a song that was featured as the lead-off track for the band's fourth LP, Zeppelin IV, released back in 1971. In 2004, that song was ranked in the top 500 greatest songs of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. Led Zeppelin's bass player, John Paul Jones, who is credited with writing the main riff, wanted to write a song that people could groove or dance to with its winding riff and complex rhythm changes. Well, I think he accomplished that. Then back at song number 10, no stranger to the VR2 Countdown Show, Mick Jagger and the Stones, and Brown Sugar, from their 1971 smash LP, Sticky Fingers. Brown Sugar was written by Jagger and Keith Richards, who are credited with the famous guitar riff in the song. Then kicking off this set of some great guitar riffs, that was the Guess Who, An American Woman, a song that was criticized for what many thought was an attack on America. But the band denied that accusation, explaining in an interview that it merely described the U.S. women who were very different from the women from their home country and small town in Canada. John Lennon actually offered his opinion of the topic of song meanings. He explained that most of the interpretations of a song came after a song was released and rarely interpreted the writer's intent for meaning. Coming up next, a glam rocker with an entry in our survey of the greatest guitar riffs of the 70s and 80s. But first, Chris Krause will be back to reveal Rolling Stone magazine's list of the greatest guitarists of all time. Stick with it.
VR2, Northwest Ohio's weekly vintage rock radio countdown show.
Okay, we're back with Chris Krause. Chris, are you enjoying our show this time?
I love this show. This show makes me so happy.
It takes us back to the roots of why we're
here.
Plus,
I get to watch you do nothing but play air guitar and laugh, because it's just too funny.
It is I am the most proficient on the air guitar of any other instrument.
Well, no, you play an air saxophone that's pretty mean as well.
Well, we won't talk about that one.
It's funny.
So, hey, by the way, do you know, I've got a little trivia for you. Yeah. Who was the inventor of the electric guitar?
Let me see. It was Les Paul, right?
Yes, and he had his own branded guitars, and he was a famous dude. And did you know that he was the godfather of Steve Miller from the Steve Miller Band?
Wow, that's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, Steve Miller.
Yeah, I love those little bits of trivia.
Rockin' Me Baby.
That's the kind of stuff that, you know, keeps me awake at night.
Okay. All right, well, why don't we get on? We're going to be giving you all the list of the top greatest guitarists.
The lead guitarist, yeah. And we're going to start with number 10.
And this is concentrated on the 70s and 80s because that's what our show is
all about. And the truth is that there are so many different rock and roll list of top guitarists, but the one that we're using is Rolling Stone. There is Billboard, there is Radio, Time Warner, there's many of them, but the one that we're using is Rolling Stone. And one thing I do know in common of all of the lists is Jimi Hendrix is always at the top.
Always.
Yeah.
So let's go down to number 10 and tell me who was down at the bottom.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions since you are Mr. Trivia.
I don't know.
Yeah, you are. He's one of the founding members of the Rolling Stone, okay? And he was known for his innovative rhythm playing, and he wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs, but only 14 of them were with his mate in Rolling Stone, his guitar mate. Who would that be?
One of his blokes.
His blokes, yeah.
That would be Keith Richards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the scariest man has not aged very well.
You know, but he hasn't, you know, and geez, I wonder if that has to do with all the lemonade that he drank during his life.
I would say that it probably was.
He had a fascination, though, Mike, with chords and rhythm. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Berry, believe it or not, was a huge influence in his musical career.
And that makes sense. Chuck influenced a lot of guitarists and rockers in general.
Yeah. So that was number 10. Keith Richards comes in as we're counting down backwards here, all the way to number one. So Keith Richards is our number 10 lead guitarist. And then we go to the next gentleman, who is also from the UK, two out of all the 10 are from the UK. And this gentleman's name is, well, let me just tell you, he founded Led Zeppelin, the band.
He did?
Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I would have to say that's Jimmy Page.
You're absolutely right. And they referred to him as the Pontiff of Power Riffing.
Power Riffing?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's
power
horrific.
Okay, so he comes in at number 9, and he was also part of the Yardbirds, interestingly enough. And he's also referred to as rock's greatest, most mysterious guitar hero.
Hmm.
Only because he's kind of in the background on a lot. Very brilliant, very, mm-hmm. very obvious session man, but huge producer.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so he's number 9.
No surprise.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I would have thought he would have been higher up the list, though.
Well, you know, again, I say, if you go to a different list, you'll find somebody else who is higher up, or God. You'll find him. So we'll come in now at number 9, and the gentleman's name is, he's a slide guitarist, Mike, and he's a blues rock guest session guitarist, and he did a lot of film soundtracks. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is this Ray Cooter?
Yeah, Ry Cooter.
Ry.
Ry.
That's as close as I get.
Ry.
Yeah.
He's the one that received a Lifetime Achievement Award for Instrumentalist of 2007. Okay, so he's our number 8 guy, and then we come to number 7. And this is kind of interesting to note. This gentleman died the same day as his father died in a helicopter accident. What's up with all these artists that die in the air? This gentleman's name is Steve Ray Vaughan, coming in at number 7.
Stevie Ray.
Stevie Ray, yeah.
Huge Stevie Ray.
Yeah, his influence was blues, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's one of the most soulful guitarists to ever live. That's how they refer to him.
Yeah, he's a name, definitely.
Yeah, he's definitely a name. So he comes in at number 7. And then we have number 6, mm-hmm. who is the pioneer of rock and roll. And he created some incredible songs such as Maybelline and Roll Over Beethoven. And his R&B developed into rock and roll, and his showmanship was huge. And really made him a star at being very legendary. And do you know who this is that I'm talking about?
It's Chuck Berry.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about Chuck Berry is, though, he, in his efforts, as he was coming into his own and becoming a very famous guitarist, he did everything. He was a janitor. He was he worked at a plant. And he also went to cosmetology school and became a beautician.
Okay.
Okay, so Chuck Berry comes. He's a very, very singular figure who put all the pieces to rock and roll, and he crafted a lot of his music from country and western bass, and
some
his
of roots.
Licks into, yeah, and all of his guitar licks into rock and roll. So
soul, country, and
yeah.
were very influential in rock music. Yep.
So now we go to this amazing man who comes in at number 5. His name is Robert Johnson. And this guy is so prolific. However, what I discovered about him is he only lived for such a short time. And he only had 4 songs that were huge in his time, and he died in like 1938, which, you know, how could somebody influence anyone so much as he influenced mostly all of the UK folks and a lot of our, but he didn't become extremely popular until later.
Well, I mean,
decades later.
Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin had very short careers, and they go down as probably the mother and father of rock. As we know it,
right,
for the 60s. Yeah.
So the other thing that happened with this person is he tells a story of selling his soul to the devil. Apparently, he went from a novice to a master, and no one could figure out how it happened except to hear the story about how he sold his soul to the devil, and he wanted to become famous, and he had this meeting at the crossroads, and all of the legendary folks who came after him talk about that.
Hmm.
And they even created music to that effect. So I think he's just a fascinating guy.
Okay.
So his name, Johnson, remember that. Because
unsung hero in a way, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think so. And very influential on a lot of very famous people. He was number 5. And then we go to one of my most favorites, I have to say that. Number four. This guy was a blues guitarist, a singer-songwriter, and he's the only person that was included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame playing guitar at 13. He's Eric Clapton.
Oh, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
See, I was going the other. I was going B.B. King.
Yeah. Well, B.B. King's up there.
Oh,
and
yes?
He's coming,
okay.
coming up here. But,
okay.
But Eric Clapton, believe it or not, had this absolute desire to be with Patti Boyd. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he longed to be with her. She was George Harrison's wife.
Yeah. Well, you know, weirder things have happened, I'm sure. And I'm sure that it was acceptable to a point. But when he tried to take her home, there was a problem.
Well, sure. Yeah. She kind of said, take a hike. She spurned his advances, as it were. And it broke his heart. And he just never really got over it. However, he did, in fact, create... and sing with Derek and the Dominoes,
yeah.
One of the most famous songs out mm-hmm. there. It's called Layla, and it's all about Patti Boyd,
mm-hmm.
From his perspective anyway. It's a story, it's a Persian literature story, actually, and it tells the tale of a young man who fell hopelessly in love with a beautiful, unavailable woman who went crazy because he could not marry her.
Hmm.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
And later on, he did marry her.
Well, this is the human side of somebody who's considered superhuman, in a way.
But to talk about the guitar aspect of it, I'm going to get back to that point, because he married her later, and then he went on and cheated on her later.
Hmm.
And he married a few other people and lost his son.
Yeah.
Which is really, really sad. But one of the fascinating things that you can say about Eric Clapton is that he played with the Duane Allman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both he and Duane Allman, who was a famous slide guitar, sort of a key ingredient for their sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him also very popular.
Did you know what his nickname was?
Oh, now you're going to get me on this.
Well, I'll give it to you. I won't make you struggle for it.
Okay.
Slowhand.
Slowhand, right.
It's kind of a guitar thing.
I kind of like it, you know?
Even though he was very quick to pick the guitar.
Right.
Slowhand.
Who knew?
Okay,
so that was number four. And now I'm going to ask you this. Who is the gentleman that named his guitar Lucille?
Okay, that was B.B. King.
It was B.B. King.
Yeah.
And what's kind of fun about this is... he named his guitar Lucille because of a situation that happened. Do you know that story?
No.
Okay. So, back then, they whenever they had a concert or a party or he was playing at a dance or something, they would literally heat that area with kerosene. Anyway, the kerosene barrel got knocked over, and consequently, there were two guys that were fighting, got knocked over. He left his guitar in that facility. He actually went into a burning fire, got his guitar, brought it back out. Unfortunately, two people died.
Mm.
And it was all because these two guys were fighting over a woman by the name of Lucille.
Jimi Hendrix sold his famous burnt guitar
mm-hmm.
for something like $380,000.
Yeah, what's up with that? We're running in the wrong circles because,
yeah.
you know. I
could
things.
Sell my dented trombone.
I have a harmonica.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't either. He also gave his guitar, B.B. King gave a guitar to one of his Lucilles, because he had several Lucilles, to Pope John Paul II, following this huge concert that he had at the Vatican.
Perfect.
Like the Pope wants this guitar. But anyway, he did do that. And one of the things that he had in common with us and everybody else out there in radio land is he was at one time a jock and a singer on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah. Bill Street Blues Boy is what they called him, and that's where the B.B. King came from.
That works.
Yeah, it does for me, too. So that was B.B. King, and that's number three.
Okay, we're moving.
We are. And then we get into a gentleman, a guitarist, a famous lead guitarist, who played a very big key role in bringing the slide guitar into rock music.
Duane Allman.
You got it. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was probably...
he was very skillful.
Right there at the top of the slide guitar players.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Known for that sound.
Yeah. And he, of course, was with Derek and the Dominoes and playing Layla.
Yeah.
And
the Allman Brothers,
and
of
the
course.
Allman. Well, he did both. You know, all these guys hung out with each other.
Yeah.
And they all loved each other.
It was a big community, and it was, you know, incestuous because they all played on each other's albums.
You know, and they hung with each other's wives. I mean,
well that takes it to another story.
It does, but you know, it's all, everybody is so completely connected because it's the circle that they're running in, and they learned from each other, and they were in many sessions with each other and mm-hmm. played at every concert. And that was the kind of fun during this era because they all showed up at different times unexpectedly.
Yep.
And you got more bang for your buck because of it. But let's go. That was number two, Duane Allman.
Wait, here's number one. You want the drum?
Yeah, give us an amazing drum line. There you go. This guy was widely considered the greatest electric guitarist in the history of rock music.
This is no surprise.
Yeah, it's no surprise at all. It is. Give it to me, Mike. Who is it?
James Hendrix.
James Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Yeah.
He was, do you remember the Woodstock Festival, how popular he was at that? And it was there they began the use of the wah-wah and the wah-wah pedal that he used.
Do you know what that was called? The actual brand name was.
What was it?
It was called a fuzz face.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Did you know that he joined the army in 1961? He was in the army.
Yeah, they.
Who would know?
Country
that?
Should have worried if he was holding a gun, because other than a guitar, which he was very skillful at, you had to have your mind totally focused when you had a pistol in your hand.
Yeah, he was with the 101st Airborne Division. Really?
What?
Anyway.
Okay.
And he played backup, and he toured with the Isley Brothers, and he toured with Little Richard in 65. And
it's amazing. You
know, it's just absolutely.
And I think there are some songs coming up in the next set by the famous Jimi mm-hmm. Hendrix, and maybe even another one.
Yeah, and don't forget that at some of the most popular concerts, he's the guy, he's the one that actually burnt his guitar on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was. You say to yourself, well, who was that? Because, of course, you're getting younger, and you know, it's easier to remember those things.
You can actually go on and Google and see a big picture of that burnt guitar, which I think he sold it $380,000.
You know what? I think you're right. It's a lot of money.
Yep.
So he was just an outstanding guitarist and our top number one. And he was also the gentleman who, the guitarist, the famous lead guitarist, who played the guitar with his teeth.
Yes.
He started that.
Yep. That's it. And we are going to move on. We'll hear some Jimmy's music down the road.
I hope so.
Thank you for coming. Very interesting insights into the guitar world.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with more music right after this.
You're listening to Mike Eunice on VR2 Vintage Rock Radio.
tramp, I love you so.
Yeah.
number 6.
VR2 Countdown Show, number 5.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the line, nobody of it is worth.
VR2 Countdown Show, and I would venture to say that is the crowned king of the guitar riff. That is Jimi Hendrix and All Along the Watchtower. It should be no surprise to anyone listening. He is widely considered the greatest guitarist in history of rock music and one of the most influential musicians of his era across a range of genres. All Along the Watchtower was originally written by Bob Dylan. Interesting to note, it was Bob Dylan who said, quote, "I like Jimi Hendrix's recording of this song, and ever since he died, I've been doing it that way. Strange how when I sing it, I always feel it's a tribute to him in some kind of way," unquote. Then back at song 6, Steve Tyler and Aerosmith, and their second single from their second LP, Toys in the Attic, Walk This Way. That was one of the songs that broke Aerosmith into the mainstream, helping their career and revolutionizing the new hybrid of sub-musical genre of rock and rap, or the molding of rock and hip-hop music, when it was covered by rappers Run-DMC. They sold millions with this LP and song. The LP Raising Hell became an international hit and won both groups a Soul Train Music Award for Best Rap Single. Then before that, at song 7, we heard a guitar riff that air guitarists everywhere would consider one of their favorites. That's Back in Black by AC/DC. Known for its opening guitar riff, the song was AC/DC's tribute to former singer Bon Scott. The band AC/DC was formed in 1973 by brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. Back in Black was ranked number 4 by VH1 on their list of the 40 greatest metal songs of all time, and in 2009 it was named the second greatest hard rock song of all time by VH1. Other recognitions for this song included Rolling Stone's ranking at 187 in the top 500 greatest songs of all time. The song was also ranked number 29 on the greatest 100 guitar songs of all time. Then kicking off this set, we heard from a glam rocker. That was David Bowie and Rebel Rebel from his multi-million selling LP, Ziggy Stardust, released back in 1974, was his last entry in the glam rock style that had become his trademark. In an interview reflecting back, David Bowie was quoted to say, "It is a fabulous riff, just fabulous. When I stumbled on it, it was, oh, thank God." Well, the world agrees, David. Congratulations. Coming up next, one of the biggest metal songs and acts to ever hit Top 40 Radio. Stay tuned to bang your heads to this one, coming up next.
Music you loved years ago, but almost never hear on the radio anymore. Vintage Rock with Mike Yunis, Saturday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. on 88.3 WLFC. WLFC.
Number 4.
WLHC number 2.
What do you do?
VR2 Countdown Show, and a show about the world's greatest guitarists couldn't be produced without at least one song from Slowhand, Eric Clapton. This one with his group Derek and the Dominoes. That is song number 2 on the VR2 Countdown survey of the greatest guitar riffs of the 70s and 80s. That song is entitled Layla, a song that charted both in 1971 and in 1972 from the LP Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs. This classic rock smash, featuring an unmistakable guitar figure from Clapton and his friend Duane Allman, plus a piano coda in the second half of the song that Clapton composed with Jim Gordon, a Grammy winner who was one of the most requested session drummers in the late 1960s and 70s, recording LPs with many well-known artists of the time, and was a drummer for many 60s and 70s acts like Little Richard and Delaney and Bonnie. Sadly, in 1983, Gordon, at the time an undiagnosed schizophrenic, murdered his mother and was sentenced 16 years to life in prison. Before that, we heard from Black Sabbath and their song Iron Man from the second LP released by the band Paranoid. Released in 1972, the song was co-written by Ozzy Osbourne and Geezer Butler of the band, who originally titled it Iron Bloke. Bloke is a British slang term for the word man. Upon hearing the guitar riff from the song, Ozzy Osbourne remarked that it sounded like a big iron bloke walking about. The title was changed later to Iron Man. Then kicking off this final set, a song entitled Sweet Child O' Mine. Guns N' Roses, the third single from this American hard rock metal band off of their 1987 debut studio LP, Appetite for Destruction. The song topped Billboard's Hot 100, becoming the band's first and only number one single in the U.S. and number 6 in the U.K. The original riff was played by guitarist Slash in a studio jam session as a joke. Izzy from the band asked Slash to play it again. Meanwhile, Axel was upstairs in his room and heard the jam session going on downstairs and couldn't help but write lyrics based on his girlfriend Erin. Amazingly, the song was written in 5 minutes with only 3 chords. Who knew? Well, there's only one more bigger than this one. The number one song in our survey of the greatest guitar riffs of all time will be heard next. And I would venture to say, it is one of the hottest guitar riffs to ever hit the radio. Keep it right here. Song one is next.
Number one.
Number one then. And number one now. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. The 1970s and 80s number one song featuring the most popular guitar riff ever recorded. That's Deep Purple and Smoke on the Water from the 1972 smash LP Machine Head. The famous riff in this phenomenal rock hit was performed by Ritchie Blackmore on his Fender Stratocaster electric guitar. You may remember that the song was about a Switzerland entertainment complex where the band Deep Purple was scheduled to record. The complex was set on fire by a concert goer who shot off a flare gun in a concert during a Frank Zappa concert that was scheduled the same weekend Deep Purple was set to record. At least that's how the story goes. Well, that's the VR2 show this week. And don't forget, if you are keeping track of the songs in this survey, make sure you put them in a list and email them to us here at the VR2 show at roadrunner.com. That's VR2 show at roadrunner.com. We will be sending one lucky winner their very own official VR2 tie-dyed t-shirt. Deadline to enter this contest is November 24th, so make sure you get your entry in. Random drawing will be held of all the correct entries in this contest. And don't forget to include your t-shirt size. Well, that's our show this week. Tune in right here next Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. for another VR2 Vintage Rock Radio Countdown Show, where we will feature another great list of songs from the 70s and 80s for you. In the meantime, keep listening to radio. It's the original wireless. It's always there, and it's still free. Taking me out of here, one more from the guitar master, Jimi Hendrix. This is Purple Haze, so grab your air guitars and start jamming. Until next week, I'm Mike Eunice. Catch you next time on the VR2 Countdown Show.
Just go!